Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, reading from the sixth and final chapter, verses 10 through 20. Listen to the word of our Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. This letter to the church in Ephesus is one of the disputed letters. While it is attributed to Paul, it, like others, has those who think that Paul had nothing to do with it, than that it might not have originally been written for the specific church or churches in Ephesus. However, there are notables who have good arguments to attribute it to Paul, and that it is indeed sent to the churches in the Lycus Valley and areas beyond. Thus, we will proceed with an epistle which is firmly a part of our Holy Bible, and it has a great message for the troubled times that we live in this day. The nature of the letter is encouragement. F.F. Bruce says that there is at least firm internal evidence that the letter was written to encourage Gentile Christians to appreciate the dignity of their calling, with its implication not only for their heavenly origin and destiny, but also their present conduct on earth, as those who were heirs to God, sealed in His Spirit. Let them learn afresh the practical commitment they made when they first called on the name of Jesus as their one Lord, confessed their one faith, and sealed their new allegiance in their one baptism. Thus, they would fulfill God's purpose, leading lives worthy of the calling to which He had called them. What a lofty, lofty goal that is. But I have to tell you that this week I have not felt quite so lofty. And so I wondered, as I read these verses this week, is this what I truly believe that I hear in these words? This recommitment of faith, this learning to put on the armor of God and go out into the world and fight. And I wondered about this church congregation in Ephesus, or the congregations. They probably do need encouragement and teaching because, well, being a Christian in the late first century is tough. They were Gentiles, and in the late first century, they were sort of caught between Judaism and a completely different religion altogether that really hadn't become Christianity like we know it today. They were somewhat of a sect of Judaism, and therefore the Jews hated them and the Gentiles hated them because they were different. The Jews hated them because they felt like they were heretics and they needed to be squashed. Their neighbors in Gentile lands, like Ephesus, just didn't quite like them because they were different. They worshiped one God instead of many. This was not normal. And I wonder, now that it's been decades since Christ has died and he is still not to come back to rule the world, I wonder how difficult it was getting for them to live in this daily conundrum that they had. Often when I am preparing for reading and proclaiming the word, the scripture, a sermon as most people would put it, I try to place myself in the shoes of someone who was there when this letter was around. Who was there when it was time for it to be read in their local church. For someone who might be on their way to worship, what were they thinking? So this week, I could imagine a man, a husband and a father, closing up his shop or putting down his tools late one day and trudging off to worship. I began to call him Ed. Why Ed? It's easy. Sort of an everyday guy, Ed was. Just like you and me, feeling a little disenfranchised from his hometown. Ed has a nice ring to it, I think. It's easy to say, and even I can't mispronounce it. And this is the kind of person I think I would be had I been standing there. And as Ed leaves his shop or his workplace, I wonder if he was thinking kind of like I do sometimes. I don't know why I work all day long because all the government wants is my taxes. The Romans just want me to send them money, and when I send it all, they want more. I am different here, as he trudges along the streets. I'm just different from all the people around me, the people I grew up with, the people that know me. I'm different now. They look at me strangely. I'm tired. I've worked hard today, and I'm going to this evening worship that will probably go on for 2 hours instead of going home to my wife and kids, who are probably just about ready to sit down to dinner and enjoy family time together. I wonder if I should go to worship at all. As he comes to a crossroad, I think Ed says, to the left, I can go home and I'll be there in 5 minutes to see my wife and children and surprise them all with being home for this evening. Or if I just keep going straight, I'll be in worship and confused. I have a lot of sympathy for Ed. I have to tell you that as I was reading these verses this week, I studied it and thought through it. I never thought of the lofty proclamations that Dr. Bruce did. You see, I was trying to work around students coming in, training for RAs, last-minute meetings and workings and things that I found out about in emails that started with, oops, I forgot to ask you to be available and come to this place at this time to do this thing. I was trying to help parents who were having separation anxiety with the leaving of their son here on this campus so far, at least 60 miles away from home. I was answering questions about all things. One of the strangest, why don't all students get their very own golf cart? And many others that were very similar to that. I have to tell you, I spent this past week a little more in the muck and mire of the swamp, hip deep with alligators all around, rather than working to try and elevate myself to write a sermon on such lofty premises as F.F. Bruce puts out there. I have been tired. Probably a lot like Ed, since Ed is a figment of my imagination. I'm sure he is just like me. So perhaps this morning, this sermon will be a little tired. But that's what happens to us so often as Christians in a world that is busy and full of, as Jimmy Buffett said, pushing and shoving. The fact is, I have been tired all week and actually for several weeks before, and I am still tired today. These past 5 weeks have been filled with hospital visits, funeral planning and execution, and well, honestly, just hearing a lot of lousy news. Even the news on TV is not very uplifting. I sat this week watching scenes on TV that I watched as a teenager. Only it was in Southeast Asia, not in Afghanistan. And I've wondered, what the heck? I remember it, and I forget my own birthday sometimes. How can the government not remember what happened as we were trying to get out of Vietnam, and how could they let it happen again? And I would wake up and be frustrated, which only made me more tired. And I'm sick and tired of COVID and not being able to plan past right now. I never know exactly when and where I'm supposed to be masked or not. Somehow, wearing a mask for public protection has become a political issue, not just something we need to do. All the directives seem to change constantly in this world, seemingly hourly. And I am, just like Ed, tired. I'm tired of life, tired of the struggle, tired of the unknowing, tired. But there is good news in this passage. As a matter of fact, there is great news in this passage. Yesterday morning, before the service and witness to the resurrection for Carol Carter, I read these verses. I was in no mood to do a funeral service. Something had to give. And I worried about and wondered about my first century friend. What did he do on that way home? Did he go home or to worship? And that is a question we all have to ask ourselves each and every day. Do we knuckle under to the pressures and the things of this world, or do we still seek the gift of God and the gifts that God gives to us? I began to read this and I started to hope that Ed had walked to worship that night, because the writer is indeed encouraging. And it begins at the very beginning, "Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us, the beloved." I've been blessed. I'm beloved. What an amazing thing. Think about that. You are blessed and beloved. I know there's days you don't feel like it. There's times you don't feel like it, but you are. And as much as we slog through all of the bad news of this day and go around feeling down, the fact is, God loves us. We hear in this that we are blessed and are in Christ, literally. The dative meaning of the physical insideness of Christ would have been orally plain to Ed. In the Greek, he would have known this means inside of Christ. I can't help but hope he paid attention. It had to be uplifting to hear that his family too are engulfed in Christ and protected by the Lord. That Ed could hear that although everything was hard and it was tough and nobody particularly liked him and the world was just difficult, he was loved and cared for by God. Furthermore, God chose to love Ed. Ed didn't earn it. He was just loved. He has chosen us to be saved and become one of his own. The pressures and weights of this world are no match for God. Yet I imagine that Ed and we still feel tired. We feel frustrated. We feel powerless. Yet Scripture provides the answers of faith, reading the Word, and living in peace. We are told, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, perhaps the evil day of just being overwhelmed and tired. And having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Those arrows of tiredness and being frustrated and feeling like you're making no headway at all. The shield of faith will protect you from them. I hope Ed heard those words. Finally, we are told to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This very word is brought to the church in Ephesus so long ago, and it is brought here, at least to me today, to bring me up, to lift me up, and give me strength. God is here now, ready, willing, and able to clothe us in an armor that will combat the evil that is around us, the inaneness, the horror of this world. And we are then able to give the words that God gives to us to others. By choosing to wrap ourselves up in God, the armor of God is this truth, the righteousness and faith, so that we can proclaim a gospel of peace in the world, a world that seems intent on anything but peace. We are told to pray and live lives that reflect the victory that has already been won by Christ, the victory we share in. I pray that Ed listened that evening. I pray that he took it home to his family. I do know that somebody did, because this message has come to us today. And I know that when I am at the end of my strength, that this is the message that keeps me going with the strength of God. I read this and I think I should just stop trying to be strong and rather just strap on God's armor every single day. That armor is powerful and a cure to all tiredness, frustration, and doubt. And as much as I doubted Dr. Bruce, I must agree that this is a lofty endeavor that has been handed to us if we will only accept the gift. I give thanks to God for the armor that he provides, for it is indeed perfect and exactly what we need in a world that needs to hear it so much. Thanks be to God. Amen.